Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever found yourself facing strong opposition, and yet you were confident that what you were doing and saying was truthful, helpful, and right? What does God want us to do when we face such challenges? Join me again in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago as a large crowd watching a miraculously healed, crippled man dance was praising God, while religious leaders were dumbfounded and frustrated. Suddenly, everything changed in that remarkable scene as opposition rose up. Acts chapter 4 tells us authorities came and confronted Peter, who had been explaining to the crowd what God was doing in this miraculous healing. The authorities seized and arrested Peter and John and put them in jail overnight without a trial. The next day, the religious leaders in Jerusalem assembled. These were the very same people who had arrested Jesus and condemned him to death. This time, they called in Peter and John, demanding an explanation. By what power or what name did you do this? Acts 4, verse 7. The question is evidence that the miracle healing of this crippled man had spread as reliable news throughout Jerusalem and neighboring towns. It was only a little more than 2 months since Peter had watched this same group of religious leaders interrogate, mock, and beat Jesus, then condemn him to death. Matthew 26. That night, Peter had denied he even knew Jesus, but now, renewed by his restored relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit's anointing of Peter, this emboldened Peter rose to his feet, ready to engage the battle with these religious hypocrites. Peter's words are very significant. If we are being called to account for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and if we are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Acts 4, verse 8 to 10. Oh my! Holy Spirit-filled Peter was confident and courageous. Have you ever found yourself in such a situation? The efforts of these religious men to silence Jesus had put these religious leaders in defiance against the God of Israel, the God they claimed to serve. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was true and accomplished by God Himself, defeating their efforts. And now, the resurrected Jesus, who had ascended back to heaven, was unleashing His healing power directly from God's sovereign and supreme throne room in heaven. This healed man was living evidence that the power and purposes of Jesus could not be stopped. And so, bold Peter continued, making a statement that has shaken the world ever since. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Peter's words needed no explanation with this group of religious scholars. They knew exactly what Peter was declaring. Salvation from God's punishment for sin, perish, which is eternity separated from God, was then and is now the ultimate pursuit of every religion, every spiritual theory. While the Jews trusted these religious leaders to teach and guide them truthfully to God's salvation, Peter's declaration was very clear. These religious leaders had failed badly and had deceived the people. God-given salvation is only possible through resurrected Jesus Christ. The same Jesus these religious leaders had rejected, humiliated, and sent to be crucified. Some of the wisest scholars and most devout religious leaders in the world were stupefied, speechless, dumbfounded, confused, and maybe convicted deep in their soul. This statement crystallizes and catalyzes that moment in history. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there was nothing they could say. Acts 4, verse 13 and 14. Can you see these men glaring at each other? Religious, scholarly leaders in their fancy robes and two simple fishermen emboldened by their Holy Spirit-anointed, truthful convictions, standing face to face. Finally, the religious leaders had Peter and John removed so they could discuss the situation. They knew the truth. They had rejected Jesus and his teachings. They had urged the people to call for Jesus' crucifixion. They had put a seal and a guard on his tomb to assure nothing would happen to Jesus' decimated and buried body. Their guards had reported an angel came early that Sunday morning, broke the seal, rolled back the stone, only to reveal the tomb was empty. These same religious leaders had quickly devised a deceitful plan, paid the guards hush money, and instructed them to answer questions by saying they'd fallen asleep, but knew the disciples had surely come and stolen Jesus' dead body. With Peter and John out of the room, the record gives us a glimpse of these religious leaders' debate and decision. What are we going to do with these men? Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Acts 4, verse 16 and 17. Do you hear their desperation, even to the point of deceit and denying God's work among them? This is one of many such occurrences throughout history of the efforts of religious, political, military, and even terrorist leaders determined to silence the voices of truth about Jesus, especially voices who are the living evidence of the life-transforming power of Jesus. Pause. Are you one of those voices in your generation, in your part of the world? What opposition have you faced? How do you bolster your confidence in God's truth and your convictions about Jesus? What price might you pay for your unwillingness to recant or renounce or deny Jesus? Who will stand with you? Oh, we need to pause right here, my friends, and give serious thought to this event and our present world and the very real possibility you or I may face similar opposition before the end of our lives. What will keep you and me strong, resolute, defiant even, against those demeaning and determined to silence the name of Jesus from society? The lessons learned notes at the grand narrative link below will help you with this, my friends, as will the song I've chosen, Drawing Us to Jesus. And let's meet here again on Monday to see what we can learn from the result of this showdown in Acts chapter 4.